You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We are a single-issue group devoted to opposing. We're on the other side of the homosexual activist agenda. The acronym for them, those guys, is GLBTQ. We were talking about that in a recent episode. The acronym continues to grow. I'll be here today with my friend and member of the board of directors of AFTA, John Biver, who is the editor of championnews.net.
Thanks,
John,
for having
welcome.
Me. Thanks.
Well, you know, John, we're pre-recording this. Let's see. Today is January 12th. We're pre-recording it for Saturday. So you'll be hearing this a few days earlier than it actually aired.
A few days later.
Yes, later. but the topic all over the news is this the psychopath Loeffner who shot the congresswoman. Gabby Giffords. And it occurred to me, just even after a few hours of watching the news reports, this is all old news to us, those of us who've been opposing the homosexual activist movement. And on our website, I put up a story about Matthew Shepard. Matthew Shepard was a college student who was murdered, and homosexual activists immediately zoomed into a narrative of blaming the so-called religious right. Do you recall that whole time? What issues were you working on back then?
I do remember it. But I think I learned from AFTA that he actually was involved with other nefarious activities and people, and that's what finally got him killed. Isn't that the truth?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about, because the same thing we're seeing that we have seen here with Loeffner, where some people on the left tried to link his death to Sarah Palin. I'm thinking of a nasty homosexual activist named Joe Jervis, who runs a website, Joe My God. He threw something up right away trying to link Sarah Palin to this guy because she used a political metaphor of the crosshairs. Here are the opponents we have in the crosshairs.
Just like the DNC did, Democratic National Committee did in 2004, they used bullseyes.
Bullseyes, yeah. And so this, you know, this political correctness now where they're saying, okay, we can't use anything that's linked to guns or, you know, any verbiage that could be have some application to guns. And, you know, it's getting ridiculous. But if you hearken back to Matthew Shepard, that case has been just amazingly manipulated by the pro-homosexual left. And it almost makes this Loeffner snuff look like child's play because, you know, that was not true, that whole narrative. And in fact, I have it on the website. I don't have it here. A statement by Kim Mills of the Human Rights Campaign, which is the nation's leading homosexual lobby group. She said that, you know, in commenting on Matthew Shepard's death, he was killed by these two guys. One of them was a meth addict. They both came from classically troubled homes. You know, these were not religious right followers. These were a couple of troubled kids into some bad behavior and addictions. And unfortunately, this homosexual Matthew Shepard fell in with these guys. Matthew Shepard himself had some behaviors that were problematic. He was promiscuous, but that whole crime was manipulated to make a case against the climate of hate caused by the religious right.
By the way, if you were to poll people today, I think most people still don't understand the truth story. The thing was the truth came out, but it didn't come out on the scale as the left.
Well, the correction never does. That's
the
thing.
Yeah.
You know, the media was manipulated by homosexual activists, and they hyped that story. It's interesting that they don't hype the cases of when victims of homosexuals, for example, Jesse Dierkhuizing, a terrible story of an Arkansas boy who got lured into sadomasochistic savagery by these two homosexual men. He died of an asphyxiation in the middle of this grotesque sadomasochistic scene. It was just deplorable. There was little media interest in that case. So we always see these cases. The liberal side is able to count on the media. And it seems like in this Loeffner case, however you pronounce his name, with Gabby Giffords, they just jumped the gun. Some of these guys jumped the gun, and they had no clue before they even had any idea of what this guy's mental state was or ideology. They were already blaming it on trying to blame it on Sarah Palin and the Tea Party movement, et cetera. But you know, the whole thing interests me in that I think this is a lot of this, the same argumentation, this smearing of the right. This is what's helped advance the homosexual cause in a lot of ways.
That's right. The good news from the past 7 days, however, is the new media and, of course, the existence of Fox, which, again, I'll say in the air that they've got enough problems of their own and they're not perfect. But through Fox, a lot of talk radio and the web, the new media has been able to undercut this strategy by these loony leftists. I mean, it was difficult to watch the news for the first 24, 36, 48 hours. Not only was the reporting lousy, I mean, somebody was dead, then they were alive, then they, you know, were dead again. And I mean, it was just terrible journalism from top to bottom. But at least over the last 7 days, well, as we're taping this, it's Wednesday, so I'm sure it'll continue for a few more. But the last 5 days, 4 days, there has been an enormous amount of blowback from the people who know what the left is trying to do and how outrageous it is. As a matter of fact, driving in just before I got in the car this morning, the Drudge Report had a headline that this guy didn't even listen to talk radio, was not interested in political radio or anything. So it's just as the facts come out, the left is shown for what it is. Two other things this week, Pete, that I...
Before you go on,
go ahead.
John, before you want to say that, you know, you said an important thing there, and that's the... you know, basically the lies of the left. And, you know, that we have to remain vigilant, because if the left does have a very nasty habit, as Britt Hume talked about, of equating disagreement with their belief system, their ideology, with hatred.
That's just what I was going to say, Pete.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead then.
Well, no, it was good to finally see the bigger media outlets. Of course, Rush Limbaugh even said something today, as a matter of fact, that the way the left uses the word hate, it's just a misuse of the English language, and it's another one of their smear tactics that works among the people who are too busy to think, unfortunately. And unfortunately, too many of those people are conservatives in office. They don't want to have to think through some of this stuff and stand up to it and laugh at the attacks, because that's what they are. They're ridiculous and laughable.
Yeah, and you know, and it does take some vigilance, and we need help. And I think in this particular issue, maybe because a lot of people would rather avoid this issue, it's been very effective.
Well, they need to get over it. They need to start dealing with the moral aspects of our culture and society. They just have to.
Yeah, and you know, the Matthew Shepard crime, and you know, the killers were jailed, and they'll be in jail for life. But that crime has been used to tremendous advantage to advance things like hate crimes legislation, to propagandize in school. There's a whole thing called the Laramie Project, which is a play that I saw once in an Illinois school, which distorts the case, again, impugns the religious side of the equation. You know, there's this constant effort that we see again and again to conflate opposition to homosexual behavior with hatred. We see that all over the place. And sort of what we've seen with Loeffner is just this whole, the whole society gets to see it. Maybe this will help us make our case that this is the same old tactic they've been doing all along.
I agree. The Shepard case is a good one to remind people about this week with this tragedy in Tucson.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm recalling the statement we put on our website by Kim Mills, then the spokesman for Human Rights Campaign, and she talked about the misinformation about gays and lesbians, linked that to the crime. And she said, and they had a press conference in Colorado, and she said, even right here in Colorado, obviously referring to Focus on the Family, for the misinformation. And so they use that crime to demonize conservative religious groups who had nothing to do with the crime. And I hope that these sorts of tactics don't succeed. It seems like we've gotten, ever since then, it's much more politically correct now than it is then. And the question is, will this help us break through some of that? As you say, the propaganda sometimes works for people who are lazy or stupid, and they want to believe it, or they don't want to investigate it. But there's, there are a few people. There are people who are, could call their actions legitimately hateful. We've questioned Fred Phelps' tactics. The guy with the God hates fag signs out at the. Now he goes to military funerals, and I can't remember. By the time this airs, I believe he was going to even go to the some of the funerals for this Tucson situation. But the vast majority of people, religious conservatives, moral minded conservatives, and there are of course irreligious conservatives who oppose homosexuality. None of these people hate homosexuals; they oppose the behavior. But that conflation is a key part of the homosexual activist tactic. We're talking with John Biver, who is the editor of championnews.net. He's based in Illinois, as is Americans for Truth, about homosexuality. Go to our website, americansfortruth.com. americansfortruth.com. There's a donate button. You can help us out financially. You can sign up for our newsletters. And you can get all archived radio interviews online at americansfortruth.org. americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute. This is Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth about Homosexuality. I'm talking to John Biver, who's a good friend and also the editor of championnews.net. Check them out on the web, championnews.net. There's lots of great writing about education issues, about the Republican Party. We're going to be talking about that, about morality. And John has just written some tremendous stuff. And John, I have one of your pieces here where you just reference what happened to us. We sort of, Americans for Truth, got sort of hit with a triple whammy when it comes to the abuse of this hate, this politicization of hate. You had the SPLC labeling us a hate group along with other pro-family organizations. You had the local Fox Chicago story that targeted us and investigated us. They even sent undercover reporters to our banquet. Interestingly, they didn't find anything to report. They just talked about how, I guess, you know, we're against homosexuality. they didn't come away with any hate. So at least that's good. Because we don't hate people. And the last one is this Gutfeld thing we talked about before. This red eye on Fox. Greg Gutfeld did a sort of a gutless attack on Americans for Truth and other pro family groups. Accuses us of hating gays. But you know, when you're out there and you're opposing the homosexual activist side, this is what their modus operandi is. Dehumanize, demonize, all the things they're talking about, the climate of hate, the rhetoric. They're guilty of themselves. That's what's so absurd about all of this.
Big time, big time. Several months ago, you had on Ryan Sorba, who's writing a book, the Born Gay Hoax. I think some people casually flipping the radio dial, catching the show, may not understand that. So no one's born gay. There are psychological and other factors that turn somebody into wanting to pursue something out of line with nature, to be simple. And so it's not a matter of them being born that way and that we disagree with who they are. No, they're not born that way. We're disagreeing with what they've the direction they've chosen to lead. Now, there's always been folks of this persuasion, and frankly, sexual behavior is just one of these areas that's better left in people's private life. And for it to have now gotten into the schools and into the statutes where people are prevented via law from exercising their own moral judgment based on religion or their own good sense is beyond the pale. And that's the reason for all of Pete's work here with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. It's just reporting the out of kilter thinking that's putting us into this causing the fight to have to happen. We'd rather not bring this topic up. They brought it up, and so Pete's doing this. So it's not a matter of hate.
Yeah, and, you know, it's reached, you know, it's not just absurd. It's fantastically absurd what's going on. You have a group, a special interest group representing homosexuality, which is a perversion of nature, of course. A homosexual movement that has grown. It's roughly 60 years old. I think the first, not really 60 years old, but the modern gay rights movement in America, 60 some odd years old. You can go further back if you go to Hirschfeld in Chicago, Gerber, I believe his name was, in Chicago. But Harry Hay, who basically, you know, was an organizer. He succeeded in getting people to think about homosexuals as a minority. I believe he had his first meeting in his home in 1960. And I'm not sure if that's, I don't have that in front of me, but it's, my point is it's a very young movement. Yet now they've risen to the point in power where they are saying that there is no other side to this issue, which is a fantastically absurd and ridiculous claim, and yet they're making it. And if we learn one thing about the left is they're bold. They'll make claims that at first seem ridiculous, but if they keep repeating them over and over again, they either get the gullible media or the lazy media or lazy people in general to follow them. And I want to get your reaction to this, John. A homosexual activist group called GLAAD, which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, they came out with a release saying the headline is "Tell CNN to make a New Year's resolution: keep away from the anti-gay industry." they go here and they're faulting CNN and other networks. There are countless other examples out of a desire for, quote, balance on these issues. We're talking about the homosexual debate over homosexuality in our culture. CNN turned out, as they often do, this is GLAAD writing, to the anti-gay industry, as they call it, to provide the counterpoint. So GLAAD is calling, going to moral conservatives, they're calling that the anti-gay industry. Except all too frequently, this is GLAAD writing again, the network doesn't book these people because they provide any actual expertise or experience on issues that impact LGBT people. Their only qualification is that they are anti-gay.
Let me before I answer, you're versed on this type of thing. Explain the word homophobia to me, because it to me it's crazy.
Well, homophobia was once intended to mean irrational fear of homosexuals. It has grown to mean vocal disagreement with homosexuals. If you look at the definitions in the dictionary, dating back to it was coined by a psychologist, I think. The meaning has grown and grown and grown to more and more include opposition to homosexuality.
The reason I ask is because I've heard Fox News now, the cable network, twice, but I don't watch it that much, but I've heard them report in news stories the use of the word homophobia, and they were using it as if it was a legitimate word and a legitimate phenomenon. As far as the media being asked to be one-sided in order to counter the anti-gay, what is it, industry? I mean, when you look at that Fox report, Pete's got it linked on the AFTA site, that local Fox Channel 32 news piece was so ridiculous and outrageous and bad journalism, and it almost defies comprehension that these people would purport to be journalists. There was no discussion about the merits of what we're talking about. And again, as I was talking about a few minutes ago, nobody wants to get to the bottom line premise of what we're discussing. The two sides see this differently. One side wants to pretend this is who they are, and we're saying this is what they do. It's human sexual impulses, it's behavior, and they want to pretend that it's like being born of a certain race, black or Hispanic or whatever. And that's, nobody wants to get to that bottom line. That when you're talking about human behavior, you are now impacting the social fabric and culture. And those who stand up for the kind of morality and tradition that has caused stability, led to stability in this society, are the ones who are on the religious right and the conservative wing of the Republican Party. So anybody who thinks the mainline press is treating news stories balanced on any issue, I don't know, it goes to the intellectual capacity of the folks from GLAAD.
But, you know, it's John, what's happened is they've grown in their boldness, and they've, I think there's been such a capitulation by many in the media that they feel that now is the time where they can just go for it and say that there shouldn't be anybody quoted. And here's the here's a paragraph from GLAAD. Just like us, the media needs to do a little house cleaning. Namely, it's time for outlets to finally drop several hundred pounds of unhealthy weight, which they've been carrying around for years in the form of anti-gay activists. Now,
anti-gay, it's people who morally oppose a behavior.
Right. They've put
this
out
is not a profound concept.
Yeah, they are putting out a controversial concept that homosexuality is completely normative. You have people react. They are not speaking just as, quote, anti-gay activists. They're speaking in representation, as it were, for the millions upon millions of Americans who adhere to traditional morality.
Correct.
And who disagree with homosexuality. So the whole supposition is ridiculous. But the people they have in the pictures they have on this press release from GLAAD are Peter Sprigg, who is a great guy, who's a public policy analyst at Senior Fellow for Policy Studies at the Family Research Council. They've got Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, a traditional Catholic. They've got Maggie Gallagher from the National Organization for Marriage. She's been very outspoken on traditional marriage. And Tony Perkins. And so they're actually now lobbying CNN. And I'm going to give the numbers out here because I want you guys to call, the listeners to call CNN and urge them to have balance on any story involving homosexuality. Because what we're seeing here now, John, and this is scary, is the rise of private censorship, if you can call it that. You usually think of government.
It's what Fox News is doing.
Yeah, it's private censorship, and it presages the state censorship that we hope will never come. But it. You know, we have self-censoring. They're asking news shows to not even have the other point of view. And, you know, I don't know what the actual statistics are. I believe close to half the population still believes sodomy is immoral. Homosexual acts are immoral. The other side may have gained on that. And maybe over 51% over 50% of society no longer believes that. But it's very close.
When's the last time you heard Rush Limbaugh get into the reality of this disgusting topic? Or Sean Hannity or you know, Bill O'Reilly, forget. I don't think he could handle it. I mean, so they're already censoring themselves.
Yeah.
When you see these panels, there's never anybody who understands basic Christian morality.
Right. And so here comes GLAAD, the sort of the media bullies of the gay lobby, to come in and say, hey, don't even have anybody. And so what we're asking people to do is, John, we want people to call the networks. Go to the network websites, go to CNN.com, find their contact page, urge them to carry both sides of the issue. And there will be more information on the Americans for Truth website. John, people should do this for all the networks.
It's dishonest to not do to cover both sides. Frankly, Pete, it's the same with all issues. All the issues have to be ventilated, and they can't be if it's only one, you know, there's only one track and it's heading in one direction. People aren't going to be able to make a good decision on what the real context is and the real nature of this conversation.
Yeah, and what we have here is gay pride run out of control because this movement, which is, you know, 1% to 3% of the population now saying, hey, you can't, there is no other side. So we need you to contact these networks. Go to CNN.com, go to their contact page, urge them to carry both sides of this controversial issue. We'll be right back after a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to John Biver, who's a good friend of mine and a member of the board of directors of Americans for Truth about homosexuality, and a fine writer. You can find his stuff at championnews.net. That's championnews.net. You can find Americans for Truth at americansfortruth.org or .com. You can go to AFTA.org, A-F-T-A-H. Please support us, and please sign up and take action on a number of our items that are on the website. I want to read from a piece that John wrote that I remember marveling at a long time ago. It's called Get Over Your Morality Phobia, talking about this concept of phobia. And, of course, John, your question about phobia, you know, when you ask what is the definition of homophobia, it's bizarre because they're really – it's a made-up – it's a construct. There is no factual definition of homophobia. And, of course, when we see homophobia used, just like when you saw it used, rarely is it used – even if you accepted the definition in terms of irrational fear, it's not usually used in that concept. You hear people called homophobes. I'm called a homophobe. I'm sure you're called a homophobe now just because you're – affiliated with AFTA. You know, it's one of the left's words to demonize. It's a manipulative
that's
term.
Exactly right.
And so is bigot, you know, the way it's used now. If you oppose homosexuality, they want to put in people's minds that there's something wrong with you. And in religiously speaking, John, the latest thing is now they want to say it's not homosexuality that's the sin, it's homophobia that's the sin. And they want to switch that, so just like they switched everything else.
Yeah, part of the problem in this society is the people who think normally, who adhere to traditional values, are living their lives. They're not aggressively working in politics to alter culture. And so when this subjects like this come up, normal operating people who adhere to traditional values, raising their kids, working, building businesses, they are ill-equipped too often to handle and counter the crazy arguments and strategies of the left.
Yeah. Now, John, I'm going to read a part of your piece here, Get Over Your Morality Phobia, which you can find on our website or John's website. You say, the subject, quote, the subject of morality is as enormous as the level of ignorance there is surrounding it, and will never make progress if people are afraid of talking about issues in terms of right and wrong. I say amen to that. My favorite bit of ignorance is the off-sighted, you can't legislate morality, quote unquote. All laws actually reflect the majority's view of, quote, the good, and thus their morality. Obviously, most governmental questions, like which roads to repay first, don't rise to the level of those of life and death, or crime and punishment, which directly impact the social fabric. But plenty of issues do. Homosexuality is one that does. There is no better issue that illustrates the confusion regarding morality than the subject of homosexual rights, so-called. Most regular people would rather not have to talk about issues surrounding sexual orientation, but that is what has been forced upon us, and frankly, it's offensive. A person has the right to discriminate when it comes to moral issues. Look up the word discriminate. We all do it every day by the choices we make and the views we take. Making moral judgments is not immoral. Some might ask, are you trying to impose your morality on me? I've been asked that many times, by the way. I'm sure you have too. Well, if you see that imposition attempt as bad, you've just made a moral judgment and thus you are seeking to impose your morality on me. Get over it. Maintaining a civil society requires this kind of debate. Government is about drawing lines. For example, we can't say it's against our religion or moral code to hire racial minorities. Polygamy is against the law. As a society, we've drawn the line. The discussion of homosexual rights is also about drawing lines, and it needs to take place in the right context. Sexual behavior and preference is clearly a moral issue. The more honest among the proponents of homosexual rights have admitted it. One activist quoted in the Chicago Free Press, which is a homosexual newspaper that is now defunct, I believe, said this, The homosexual movement, whether we acknowledge it or not, is not a civil rights movement, not even a sexual liberation movement, but a moral revolution aimed at changing people's view of homosexuality. The bottom line is that if someone wants to define themselves by their sex life and seeks to redefine marriage and traditional mores, we have every right to make a judgment about them. We didn't start this discussion, but we're not afraid of it, and you shouldn't be either. Morality is good for you. And, you know, that's what we get away from. So the whole discussion wants to move towards rights and orientation and make this is the modern heirs of Martin Luther King. But the reality is it still boils down to a moral discussion.
That's right. And some on the left, like that guy you quoted, are realizing that is their morality. So they're finally, you know, kind of making the case on our turf.
And they're trying to make a moral case for homosexual behavior, which is historically speaking bizarre. But in our sort of postmodern twisted times, in which many of the media are completely religiously challenged, they're getting away with it. You see people saying that, you know, the pushing of homosexual rights is moral, and so they understand that they have to talk in moral terms.
That's right. But as a society, we have had the privilege of being born into or immigrated into a country that had a moral structure, an ethic. And so that led to the government that was developed in the late 18th century. And ever since then, right and wrong has been pretty much agreed to, whether it's murder, whether it's rape, whether it's theft of any sort.
Up until what? On this issue about the sexual revolution?
Exactly. And people have never had to think about it because we were born. It's like a kid who's born into money doesn't have to think about how to make money. They've got it already. But in the last 50 years, there's been this left wing, and it's all connected, economic and social. The left wing has been trying to radically transform America into something that it fits their worldview. Unfortunately, it's a battle we have to fight. And one of my favorite studies from, I guess it was back in the 90s, a couple sociologists looked at the subways in New York City and found out that if they cleaned up the graffiti, they had fewer people who were jumping the rails in order to get in without paying. They developed something called the broken window theory, where if somebody sees a broken window, they decide that the neighborhood's going to heck, and their behavior then follows suit. This stuff is a little esoteric, except if you start to realize it's almost like looking at a mob only dispersed. People do react to other people's behaviors. And one of those, as I said earlier, one of those behaviors that is best left in the private sphere is sexual behavior. Unfortunately, it just is. And what this homosexual movement wants to do is break down barriers and basically have pride parades. I mean, holy Toledo. Have you seen something as despicable as those gay pride parades? I mean, that is so against the traditional mores that helped us build a structure that was conducive to the pursuit of happiness.
All right. Well, that is a revolutionary act, of course, and now it's become accepted because people have seen so many. But, you know, to be one of the things that homosexual activists say, which is true, is that the whole thing can't be laid on them. You know, the sexual revolution has been a loosening of our moral standards. And when you look at some of these TV shows now, John.
Oh, God.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
And movies. And there's one that's coming out that I saw where, I think I talked about this before, but where now they're encouraging female promiscuity. You know, the female character in this movie just wants to be friends with the guy and have sex as a friend and no commitment. But beyond that, you see some of the juvenile episodes with just sort of I don't know how to describe it, but it's a radical idea, a promiscuity that it's just sex for sex's sake. It's a big joke. There's nothing, you know, there's a lot of outside of marriage sexuality, and all this thrown together, no wonder it's a lot of heterosexual people who have never practiced homosexuality or really thought about it, if they feel that we're in a sexually compromised, it's like you say with the broken window, they see society falling apart, they find it hard to come down on the homosexuals.
When more people were raised with the church ethic, whatever your religious persuasion, there was a as you were growing up, it was a given. There was a right and wrong. There was a standard that was almost common sense. As fewer people have been raised with the traditional values as part of their upbringing, they reach adulthood and they're terribly confused about what it is we're talking about when we're talking about the social issues. If you study the founding of America, not only do you discover very thoughtful men when it came to the structure of government and the Constitution, these men, there are literally hundreds of quotes from the founding era generation talking about virtue, talking about the need for a stable population, people who are going to behave themselves, because you can't have a big enough government if there isn't going to be proper behavior throughout the society. And yes, it is a debate about what works and what doesn't work. And thousands of years of history and every major religion has said that, even as Rome started to come apart, thinkers back then were talking about the depravity in the culture was going to be the end of Rome. And of course, there were other reasons, but this is not new to talk about civilization.
Yeah, absolutely. And after the break, I want to talk to you about the sort of the breakdown in this postmodern society, post-Christian society, where we want to have it all. We want to be gay and Christian. We want to have conservatism include homosexuality, which would have been unthinkable 10, 20 years ago to have that folded into conservatism. What are we conserving? We're talking to John Biver, who is the editor of championnews.net. He's a good thinker. He's a good writer. I encourage you to go there, championnews.net. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour on Chicago's Christian Talk, WYLL. It's and replayed on our website. All our interviews are available at americansfortruth.com. Just go to the Americans for Truth Hour button on the right. They're all archived there. And I want to make a quick announcement. We've got the date for our next Americans for Truth Academy. We're doing it in Columbus, Ohio, April 1st and 2nd. I hope you can come, John. We're doing it in cooperation, partnership with Mission America, my good friend Linda Harvey. And that is April 1st and 2nd in Columbus. The theme is the hate labeling of Christians. Again, this idea of calling the outworking of Christian behavior, Christian belief, moral opposition to homosexuality, hatred. And so I hope you can make that. It's not going to be nearly as long as the last Truth Academy in Chicago. It'll probably be a day and a half total, probably about in the range of $75. April 1st and 2nd, you'll get more information at americansfortruth.org. John,
April Fools, that's a good day to have talk about this topic because it's laughable.
Well, I'm sure some of our opponents would say the opposite about us. Now, John, you've written a lot on education. I just want to quickly reference a story by Lori Higgins in Illinois Family Institute's website. It's called, the headline is, "The Vagina Dance," in quotes, taught in a Crystal Lake High School, Crystal Lake, Illinois. A couple of months ago, Crystal Lake's Prairie Ridge High School health teacher, Jacqueline Levin, decided that the best way to teach her co-ed class of sophomore students the parts of the female reproductive anatomy was to use something called the Vagina Dance. To the tune of the Hokey Pokey, this is a real story. Couldn't make this up, folks. To the tune of the Hokey Pokey, Levin led her class in a puerile dance that involved pointing to and singing about reproductive body parts while prancing about the classroom. What have we come to where you actually have these incredible abuses going on in the schools?
You know, one of the best news stories I've read in a long time was earlier this month that there are now 2 million kids being homeschooled. That is the hope for the future of the country. The public school system is
rotting
from core to core, top to bottom. you're really not going to be able to reform it. There's perestroika isn't going to work with this system. It needs to be shut down, needs to be opened up, and there needs to be vouchers. And
yet the Republican Party, some here in Illinois, Republican Party legislators had a chance to support vouchers, and a lot of them didn't.
Absolutely. Well, the Republican Party in Illinois is in desperate need of a house cleaning, and people who listen to YLL need to be thinking about getting involved with Republican politics, because the party that's supposed to represent traditional values in this state doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about that in previous episodes, and we had the awful example of Mark Kirk, Obama's replacement as senator for the state of Illinois in the U.S. Senate. Mark Kirk voted to repeal the ban on homosexuals in the military. And John, let's talk about, you know, in reading your writings on morality, it occurs to me that we really are, as we've declined as a society, we are undisciplined. And now you have this thing coming up with CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, wanting to include a homosexual group, a so-called gay conservative group, as among its sponsoring organizations. What is conservatism to you? What are we conserving when you can allow a group that's advocating immoral sexual practices? Homosexuality has long been held as immoral, both historically and religiously speaking, our Judeo-Christian heritage. How can that be counted among conservative philosophy?
Well, it can't be. And if you click through the links found on the AFTA website or some of the values type articles that we link to on Champion News, you realize that it's a crazy attempt. There are I read a book last year called it was a book about fascism, and it was a book about the political movement in the early part of this century that the left basically adopted all the strategies for advance from. And the writer, Jonah Goldberg, who's a smart guy, not long ago wrote a column that was basically waving the white surrender flag on this moral issue of this extreme leftist gay agenda. Pete, I think the answer to your question is people are intellectually lazy. They don't want to have to do the hard work. The only reason global warming had 10 or 15 years of momentum is because there wasn't enough voices doing real research to counter it. Now, groups like the Heartland Institute out of Chicago have done great work when it comes to the science. And it's the same thing with this issue now. We have to have more people looking into the reality of the topic, the horrible health consequences. And I you took my copy of the CDC report on some of the consequences of this behavior. It is not healthy. And I don't know how a guy like Jonah Goldberg can dismiss it as unharmful.
Well, he's reading the political tea leaves is what he's doing, and he's trying to go with the winning side. And it's just to me, to do that is one thing, but to do that and say you're still honoring conservatism is very sad.
They will spend all kinds of time talking about economics and the depths of the issue economically, in theory and in practice and experience. But when it comes to the impact of social policy, they don't want to have to do it because they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, and they know that there's a very loud contingent of gay activists calling themselves Republican. And I'm not saying, you know, you could be a homosexual voting for conservative issues and other aspects of the Republican Party. But insofar as groups like Go Proud, which is a homosexual Republican group, insofar as they promote homosexuality as acceptable, that is anti-conservative. That is not conservative. Conservatism preserves the Judeo-Christian concept of family and marriage. These groups are undermining that specifically, obviously. And yet, we want to have it all. And in the same sense, we had Philip Yancey, who is a Christian writer, and this is on the religious side of the issue. Philip Yancey went out and spoke at a gay Christian conference. Now, would he go out and speak at a Christian pornographers conference or Christian incest practitioners conference? Of course he wouldn't. But because it's the homosexual issue, we're talking about gay Christians. And again, there's that we want to have it all. We want to say that we are moral, we're Christian, and yet we are making this deal with the devil to support homosexuality, and it's just intellectually absurd.
It is the culture stupid, as somebody remarked not too long ago. It's impossible to disconnect our economy and our society's health from behavior, from morality. It's just not going to happen. You loosen mores, you're going to run into trouble. We're closing towards the end here of this segment, Pete, so let me make a pitch to listeners to support the Americans for Truth about homosexuality. There's a lot of good causes out there, but I'm sure a lot of people in recent months, particularly in Illinois or states where civil unions have been legalized, or watching the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, they're horrified with what they see. There is no organization in the country that does as good a job. Maybe Mass Resistance does out of Massachusetts. But Pete's efforts to just expose the facts, that's all it is about this movement, is unmatched. And Pete deserves your financial support.
Well, thanks for that commercial, John. You're a good board member. But I do want to thank you for coming on board at Americans for Truth and all you've done. I wanted to read one fact from your fact sheet that I took from you, which is that the CDC study, which found that 1 in 5 men who have sex with men were infected with HIV, and 44% of those were unaware of their HIV status. This is appalling that we're promoting such behavior in the name of civil rights.
They weren't born that way.
They were not born that way. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. Go to our website, AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.